over Carl Staten.
Which one of these did you drink at?
I drank them all and throw them away already.
Well, I think I can honestly stand before you this afternoon and tell you that I'm somewhat taken aback. I feel right now, for the sake of nerves, trying to get started talking. I feel kind of like I did in South Arkansas one time. Brother Charles Sandage got up and made announcements, preaching arrangements, and said, well, the preaching committee has decided after hearing Brother Carl last evening, we needed to give him another chance. And then you can just take it any way you want it. I did. I believe y'all are, but I'll ask you anyway. Please pray for me.
Amen.
Lord bless you.
Bless you.
I'd be less than honest to tell you that I don't have something to talk about. I've always got something to talk about. But I hope that the Lord will allow us to talk sensible for a little while. And I'll make you a promise that I'll try not to break. I'll try to be more mindful of the time this evening than I was last night. And y'all tell Brother Kevin that I said that. A lot of things have been said this weekend. A lot of things have made me think. And I think the other ministers can relate to what I'm about to say, and perhaps some of the rest of you can as well. But during the course of a meeting like this and listening to the things that are being said and preached and taught and promoted and kind of rejected sometimes, it's not a lot to me what the preacher says. Sometimes to me it's a lot of what he doesn't say. And I know I'm dating myself by saying this. Some of y'all don't know what a Rolodex is. So I guess it's like Google. Is that okay? My head just runs things all during the course. A couple of things have been mentioned, and one of them I'd like to talk to you about this afternoon for just a little while. So pray I'll get started. 1 Kings chapter 18 is one of my favorite passages and occurrences. This is a real account of a literal circumstance that a prophet of God confronted God's people with.
Yeah.
And read it and consider it and be honest with it. It would be very timely. In a lot of ways, like listening to the evening news, if you listen to it. Not that the evening newscaster would challenge you the way that Elijah did Israel, but perhaps you might see the need to be challenged. In 1 Kings chapter 18, I begin reading in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? That challenges us with that point of decision. That in and of itself is a statement that some of us get nervous about and we don't like to hear talk about. To say that there's decisions to be made and there are times when we need to make one. And then to understand that we're going to live with the consequences of our decision. And every one of us in this house and our families and all that are connected with us and the people on the face of this earth today, we are living the consequences of our past decisions. Mm-hmm. And our decisions that we make this day will not only affect us, but our homes, our families, and our children and grandchildren generations to come. Decisions are all through Scripture, and it's important that we make wise decisions. How long halt ye between two opinions? Listen. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. I mean, it's pretty much as if he's saying, but can you imagine a minister, a prophet of God, having to confront God's people with such a question? In essence, he's saying, it's time for you to get off the fence. It's time you make your mind up. It's time you do more about it than just think about it and assume that you are. It's time to make the decision and do it. If the Lord is God, then act like it.
Right.
Follow him. But if Baal, we'll talk about that in just a second. If Baal, a name of generalization, of a multitude of false worship at that time. We'll learn a little bit about that in just a second. A number of the prophets that represented Baal. There were all manner of false idols and gods. But if it's not, he's not asking them to make a decision among the gods of the world. God, one, and all of these. Pretty much like Joshua had the children of Israel, these same people generations before. When he said, if it seem evil unto you, we leave out that part a lot of times. We leave that part out and we just jump over to the part about choose you this day. But he started out that challenge there that day, that if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if that don't suit your fancy, if that puts a knot in your knickers, what? Don't know what knickers are either. Lord, to me, I ain't saying I do, and I never would wear them. Film at 11. Mercy, I got to quit that. But if God doesn't suit your taste, the God of Israel, the God of your deliverance, the God that brought you to where you now stand, to your Ebenezer, hence to this point we have come. If the God that has delivered you and brought you to this good day today is not the God, if it's a trouble to you, have you ever listened to people talk about going to church, serving God? This bugs me. It bugs me when I hear me. You hear Christians talk about serving God nowadays? Oh, what a trouble it is. What a burden it is. Boy, I just had to give up so much. It just bothered me on this, you know. He's messing with our schedule, brother. I mean. Well, if that's a bother to you, Joshua said, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell, or whether it be the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood before you got brought here, well, you just pick you out one. They're all just as good. In fact, they're all just as bad.
Yeah.
Brethren, listen to him. This is the kind of offshoot of what Brother Gary was telling us this morning. We need men.
Right. Yeah.
We need men. When the Bible says, quit you like men, okay, I'm in 1 Kings 18. I got to remember that. I think y'all already knew that. when the Bible says quit ye like men, that doesn't mean stop.
No.
We have a wrong conception of what quitting means. The word quit means finish it.
Yeah.
Brethren, children of God, you can't quit
right.
like a man
right.
until you finish your course.
Right.
When you finished your course and he sat down, he quit. He was done. If you stop, hesitate before that point, halfway, almost to the end, and you cease in that journey, in that requirement, you haven't quit. You bailed out. You've bailed out. You've sold out. You've give up. We need men. So Joshua says, but as for me and my house, you hear it? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That man wasn't hesitant to say, I speak not only for me, but for my wife and for my everyone under my roof. Yeah. Everyone under the accountability that I've been called of God to stand forward and represent. Mm-hmm. We will serve the Lord. Wow. But here's these same people generations later. And here's Elijah, the prophet, coming to them. And he's asking them virtually the same question. Y'all on the fence again. You're on the fence again. And how long are you going to sit there? Y'all ever done that? It's not a comfortable position to straddle the fence. You ever done it?
No.
Going fishing with a buddy of mine one time. I'd never been to this place. He said we had permission to go on this one fellow's property. He said, nah, but you got to be real careful out there, because he told us he's got cattle there and he's got a bull there. It's somewhat kind of dangerous. So you got to watch the bull when you go there. No pun intended. So you got to watch out for the bull. So we were going and he was leading me and he started to cross the fence around him. There was a pretty good sized fence there, but it was still low enough and loose enough that he could kind of go over it and straddle. So he grabbed the fence and he went over one leg and I'm looking for the bull. And there's one on the hill. So I'm watching. He's over the fence and he's standing. I said, okay, go on, go on. There's a bull there. Go on. What are you doing? And I looked at him, and he's standing there straddled of the fence, and he's... I said, what's the matter with you? Fence.
No.
I had to knock him off of the fence. How long were you halt? What's the matter with you? Okay, Israel, are y'all with me? What are you doing? How long will you halt? What's the matter with you? What's got a hold of you?
Yeah.
What's holding you back?
Right.
Why do you hesitate? If the Lord is God, then go on. Let's go fishing. But if Baal, God, then serve him. I mean, it was just as comfortable on this side of the fence as it may be over there. I find this next statement quite telling. And the people answered him not a word.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit, but I'd be far too negative. God's people being asked a question, being asked to confess, fess up, acknowledge, and they won't say a word. Just sit there and look at you. Oh, we're not going to commit. We're not going to answer. You ain't talking to us. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, and Baal's prophets are 450 men. Wow. There's a whole lot more of them than there is me. He said, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose. Just give us two bullocks, one for them. 450 of them guys. Give them a bullock, a bull. And give me one. Mm. Now, let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, and put no fire under. I will dress the bullock, the other bullock, lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Yeah. Boy, this is going to be a major showdown. Throw down, whatever you want to call it. This is worse than the WWF. I mean, we're coming out here on this. Whatever God shows up in fire, let him be God. And the people answered and said, it's well spoken. You got it. We'll do it. But now I want you to notice something. They weren't having to do anything.
Right.
Well, there's 450 of these false prophets over here, and they just wanted me. I read the description of Elijah there. I feel kind of sympathetic to him. Old bald-headed man. Here he is. Not much to look at, perhaps himself. You remember John the Baptist? We spoke about his snappy dress and eating connoisseur abilities last night. He came in the power and spirit of Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah was probably not a whole lot to look about. Rough-looking old fella. He said, I'm the only one that's speaking for God now, and I'm asking you, challenging you, imploring you, get off of the fence. We're in a bad situation. Now, to bring you up to date a little bit, this was at the end of about 3.5 years of absolute drought. Now, we think sometimes when we get a month or two and the grass starts drying and the crops start drying up just a little bit, this is worse than the Dust Bowl days that I saw pictures of. I wouldn't lie back in. But saw Dust Bowl pictures way back in the last century when the grounds got so dry and the wind swept up that you couldn't even see the dust come through the houses and something. So I heard about it. It was bad. It was even bad, so bad that it was giving people health problems and choking people to death. This is even worse now. They had been 3 years. Do you dare imagine it? 3 years. And it wasn't because of global warming. It had been because of the declaration of God through the mouth of this prophet, because of the sins of Israel, because they were not serving God. They were not following God. And God said, there's going to be a drought. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to bring things to a halt. I'm going to get your attention. 3.5 years, no rain, nothing. Dry. Now, I don't want you to forget that. Dry, no water. The creeks had dried up. I mean, Elijah had been fed down by the brook Kidron. Drank from the creek. The ravens fed him. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. Quite a deal. But the creek dried up. It was bad. The prophet was suffering with the people. Here they are, and he says, now, get off the fence. Make a decision.
serve God or serve Baal, one or the other. We need to do something here. God's calling on us for a decision. So now here's what we're going to do. So here's where we're at. Calls all the people to Mount Carmel. He said, now bring all these other representatives up here. Bring the best they got, these 450, and they were 400 prophets of the groves. So there were actually 850 of these guys. You're going to tell me the majority is always right? Elijah says, I'm the only one here representing God. I mean, y'all won't speak up. So I tell you what we do. I'll take the bullet. They can have the bullet. I mean, there's 450, 850 of them. They can choose which one. They can go first. Let them do whatever it is they do. Put their bullock on the wood. Lay it out there the best way they want to be. However, he said, I'll do the same thing. And then whichever God, whether it's their gods, did you notice that little G and S? Their God's answer or the Lord answers, whichever one sends fire and consumes the offering, the bullock, let him be God. People say, you got a deal. I mean, this is going to be a show. This is going to be a show. We ain't got to do nothing. All we got to do is sit back and watch. Wow. So the challenge is on. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? I thought about this the other night. We were being told about the glory of God and seeing the power of God fall. I thought about this, so I want to ask you a question right now. All that talk of drought made me thirsty. If the fire does come, you want to see the fire from heaven fall? Do you? You want to see the glory of God? You want God to show up, and you know it, and his fire come to the altar of your sacrifice? Do you know what's going to be left if he does? Ashes. Nothing. And you're not going to get to take home what you brought. Selah. If you make a sacrifice, you do not take home what you brought.
That's right.
It's burned to ash. You go home empty-handed or something better.
Right.
You hear me? But we're here for the show. Bring it on. So the challenge is on. Y'all know the circumstance. He said, let these guys go first. And I read this, you look at the time frame of this, it's kind of like an old Baptist meeting. Evidently, they started by daylight. And the prophets of Baal went first. They took their bullock and they laid it out on their altar. They began with their chants and their whatever it is they've done, and they're calling upon Baal and all their gods. The Bible says that they went into almost, they went on from that morning to noon. 6 hours. On and on and on and on it went as they went around and around the altar. And the Bible says that, it says here that they cut themselves with lances. Till the blood dripped out. No, it don't say that. Till the blood gushed out of them. Right. Wasn't the Bible picturesque? Do you get the pictures? I mean, you can scrape yourself with something sharp and drip a little bit. But if you get the blood gushing, you done hit an artery. This bad. And the blood was gushing out. I can tell this afternoon, so I need to give you another story. I went on a call. I was a fireman once. I went on a call one afternoon. We had a young man that had a motorcycle accident. He's kind of inebriated. It would have killed him if he had the man driving. But he went over the handlebars on the motorcycle and went down one of those guardrails on his backside. Off. And he was standing up when we got there. Kind of. Is the man, you okay? Well, I think I'm all right. Any of y'all got a cigarette? And I was kind of getting close to him, walking around him, and noticed there was blood on the ground. And got on around a little closer to him, trying to not just run up there and just grab him, but he's walked around to him. And every time he'd move, it was more. Bible's this way. I'm being this way. He was split from sliding down that guardrail from the middle of his back all the way down his right leg into his calf. And I don't mean cut. I mean split to the bone. There was pieces of him still on the guardrail. And every time he moved, and every time his heart beat, it was spraying. So we had to get him down and hold him. That's what these guys were doing. Now y'all are awake now. You're on the fence. We had to hold him down to keep him from bleeding to death. These guys were running around and around and around over this thing, splitting themselves and cutting themselves and piercing their bodies and marking themselves and calling on their gods, and the blood gushed out. Somebody says, as long as you're sincere, you're okay. Brother, they were sincere.
Amen.
Sincere. Their life blood was gushing out of them in their efforts to call upon Baal, but no answer. No answer, no answer, no answer. And I love Brother Elijah exposed himself several times in this, and he begins to mock them. He says, what's the problem, guys? No answer yet? What's up with Baal? All these different, how many of you are there? Well, perhaps he's on a journey. Leave a message. He'll call back. Maybe he's asleep. Read it. Read it. Maybe he's asleep. I mean, he dozed off in the afternoon service. Not at all. Ate too much lunch. He's asleep. And if you call a little louder, like the preacher, you'll wake him up. Maybe he just needs to be woke up. Or maybe he's indisposed. Y'all always know when the phone rings, don't you? Yeah, that's right. When you're in that room where you don't want to talk, fill in the blanks. Well, maybe he's, and you're just not getting through to him. Call a little louder. No answer till noon. Until, suppose they bled so much that they'd passed out over their offering and no fire, no nothing, and they were done, pretty much exhausted. They worked themselves absolutely till the point of death. Okay. And then Elijah says to the people, all of you, come to me. My turn. God's turn. And notice how it says it. In verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. All right. Watch this. Don't miss this. There was a pile of stones over there during all this. Probably been there for 40 years. Just a pile of rocks laying over there. Well, what's them for? And it says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. There was a place of God's worship there that was broken down, that had been forsaken, that had crumbled, that had failed, that was out of place. Do you know where any of them are at? Do you? And it says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of wheat. Now this wasn't just a scratch in the ground, it's a ditch. He dug a ditch around it. So now this repair work and this preparation for the sacrifice took a little while. Took a little while. There's method in his madness. So he begins to pile these, stack these 12 stones back up in place. I'm trying to hurry. And then he digs a ditch. Can you see? He digs this ditch out. What's this old God doing? He digs a ditch out around the altar, around these stones. He lays the wood up there, and he takes his bullock and he cuts it in pieces and lays it up on there. And now, these people that have been enjoying the show, he gonna get them involved. You're paying attention to that? These non-committal folks, one straddling the fence, they fixing that to get involved. Friends, I tell you what, it's hard for us to value. I'm including myself in this. It's hard for us to have any value and worth on anything we are not vested in.
Right.
And the more that we are committed and invested in and have a part in it and feel we have a part in it,
yeah,
the more interested we are in
it.
The more participatory. Is that a good word the English professor has left us? I'll look it up in the Oxford this evening when I get a chance. That's right. That's what participatory is. Participation. Right. Thank you. It means to get off of the fence now.
Right.
Get involved in it. Have y'all forgot since this morning? That brother called on you and you clapped for God. Elijah's doing the same thing, brother. He said it's time to get involved now.
Yeah.
The show's over. It's fixing to get serious. No fire yet. Just a bunch of dead meat over there with them guys laying over there bleeding to death.
Right.
Now we got this nice neat little stack of 12 stones and a pile of wood, a ditch around it, a dead bullock cut up and laid out there over it. He stands back. All right, y'all. Now bring us some water. Wait a minute, hold it. 3.5 years of drought? What are you talking about, water? That's scary stuff, man. Man, you're fixing to get in our pockets. You're fixing to get down to stuff that's this really serious, precious to it. Water? Well, now, we ain't talking about just a sip now either.
Right.
He says, fill 4 barrels with water. This man's lost his mind. Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. It ain't burnt yet, but it's fig and be. Right. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. I'm not real smart, but you gonna pour water all over that wood? Now, you told us that the God that answered by fire is going to be that. Well, just in case somebody here's got a bit in your pocket or a pack of matches, we're going to remove all doubt. And he don't say pour gas on it or kerosene or anything. Put water on it. Y'all know this. This ain't rocket science. I always love to say this, Brother Martin, excuse me, but I always love to say this to folks like this. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to understand this, but I know one. And he can tell you, this is not that hard. Amen. You pour water on wood, you don't build a fire out with it very often, do you? It's going to be tough. Look what this man's doing. He's removing their doubts. He's calling on them to get involved, get invested here, make the decision, and so that there'll be no doubt when it's done. Pour four barrels of water on that. Well, where are we going to get four barrels of water? We've been in 3.5 years now. Oh, there's some water down the foot of the hill. Where'd it come from? Well, you fill in the blanks. And they bring four barrels of water up and pour it all over there. That's good, good, good. I wonder if some of those guys is kind of up there pouring out what he's getting us into, but man, this ain't going the way we thought it's going to. Ain't gonna be no fire here today. I guess we're going to still be right where we always were. There ain't no God around no more, I guess. There ain't no God. Ain't no God. I just don't know. You know, there's a lot of people that way in the world today. Just don't know. Well, he says, do it the second time. What? Go get four more barrels. Pour it on again. And they did it again. Good enough, right?
No.
Do it again. Three times. Yeah. Wow. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Can you imagine standing there? Can you imagine standing there? After all these years of drought, and you're standing there pouring this water out all over everywhere, and it's running everywhere, and the ditch is filled up with it. The meat's soggy. The wood is soaked. You ain't seen this in 3.5 years. There's mud on the ground. It's squishing up twixt your toes. It's weird, right? Water ran down around the altar and it filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, we're right at dusk now. Sun's going down. Okay. By the way, I guess that means nobody's going to whip out a magnifying glass and start a little blaze either. Okay. Sun's going down. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, listen to him, and we'll be almost done. Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. I know they think I'm crazy, but you've told me what to do. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. I mean, really, have y'all got the picture? It's getting dark now. We've been out here all day long. Where's the fire? These guys over here still bleeding. Here's this old man standing in front of this altar of soggy meat and mud. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That thy people may know that thou art the Lord God.
Yeah.
And that thou hast turned their heart back again. Don't just let them know that you're God. I mean, you're perfectly capable of proving that, God. Whew. But in so doing, let them know that you have turned their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see the fire fall? And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, all of a sudden, that pillar of fire that in the olden days came down over that altar, consumed everything. Look, the soggy meat's gone, the wood's gone, the stones are gone. Well, there was mud here a while ago. The dust is gone. Everything that was there is gone. Watch. And these fence straddling people that was there for the show. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is the God." Yeah. The Lord. Notice how that says that, though. It doesn't say that the Lord God. He said, "The Lord, He is the God."
Yeah.
None of this.
Right.
No more. None of that, no more.
Right.
Forget them guys. No more. The Lord, He is the God. He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. After God showed up, the prophets of Baal had to die.
Yep.
And the prophet, remember John the Baptist? And Elijah took the people of Israel down to the waterside, and their enemies died there that day. And they were a changed people in heart. And God reigned in Israel again.
Amen.
Because the people now had made a decision.
Yeah.
The fire came. The fire came. How long will we halt? Will we hesitate? Will we go through the motions without acknowledging that we've seen the fire fall and God's answered our prayers?
Amen.
And we've been in this meeting that we've been talking about all weekend long. What a wonderful meeting it was. What a fantastic services. What great singing. What good preaching. Let me tell you this. If you go back to your house this afternoon at the amen of this meeting, when I ever shut up, and you take back home with you exactly what you brought and you ain't changed a bit, ain't been no fire. At least not for you.
Yeah.
But if the fire of heaven has fallen indeed, and your heart's been turned, and you've been reminded again that the Lord, He is the God.
Amen.
And all of these others die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the waterside is washed away. And you're ready to leave here today and leave the ash of the past behind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, yeah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, it just makes good sense, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the image of this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I just wished I knew what God's will for my life is. He would have you come and His fire leave nothing of you, of your past and of your excuses and of your halterings and your indecisions. Leave nothing but the ash of it before His throne.
Mm-hmm.
And you go home with a turned heart for His glory.
Amen. Amen.